Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Mindshift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, as always, joined by the phenomenal Mindshift crew, Mr. Billy Miller, the motivational minister, and we're one short tonight, Dr. Ayal Kedar, the natural Zen diva. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it, but she's always here in spirit. So again, welcome to Mindshift Talk Radio. For those of you that are listening online, we encourage you to join us in the chat room at mindshifttalkradio.com. And for those of you that are listening by phone, if you have any questions, any comments, any concerns about tonight's show, feel free to give us a call at area code 347-989-0206. Also, if you're listening to us online and you have not started to follow this show yet, we definitely encourage you to go to our page there on Blog Talk Radio and click follow so that you can be updated on future shows as well. And finally, see, you can find us everywhere. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. So we encourage you to like our page and become our friend. We're always open to new friends on Facebook as well. But again, you know, it is Mindshift Monday. Again, I am Stacey Emery, the personal development expert, always excited about Mondays. I promise you, ever since we started the show over a year ago, my whole perspective of Mondays has changed. Mondays are now my favorite days of the week because it's Mindshift Monday. And as I said last week on Facebook, the Mindshift doesn't only have to take place on Mondays. It should take place every day of the week. But for us, this is our special day in which we observe Mindshift. So again, welcome to the show. And tonight's show is a new one. The title itself is very interesting, but you'll see why we decided to name the show There's a Message in Your Mess. And later on in the show, shortly actually, you'll be introduced to tonight's special guest, a phenomenal author and dynamic woman and individual, Ms. Adrienne Bilbro. But before we bring Adrienne out, just want to go ahead and introduce my sidekick and my partner, my brother, Mr. Billy Miller, the motivational minister. What's going on, Billy?
Hola. What's up, beautiful people?
That is not how you come on the show. What's with the hola? That's Dr. Ayo.
I know. I was filling in for Ayo. I'm trying to do, you know, what's up?
Oh. I'm like, that's so not the Billy. You know, I've called it the Billy, and that is so not the Billy. What's the Billy? Come on.
Hey.
There you go. See, we can't start the show unless you do that. That's the only way to get the show started. So what's going on, Billy? You know, tonight's show, well, before we talk about tonight's show, let me go back because we always do this, so we want to make sure that we keep things in order. We want to encourage you, our listeners, to make sure that you go back online to Mindshift Talk Radio and check out the replay of our previous shows. And last week, we did the recap for Forks Over Knives. So last week's show was a very short show. For those of you that are so into Monday Night Football and everything that's going on around football this week, we did a short show just for you, with you in mind. It was only 30 minutes last week, and it was our recap of Forks Over Knives, which is a documentary about food. But we really went more into Mindshift. I think we spent, Billy, the whole half hour talking about the Mindshift piece, right? We didn't really talk too much about the documentary.
Right.
Yeah. So we talked about the whole mind-body balance, and we talked about why we have challenges with our diet and our health and our fitness, and stop looking at it from just a commercial standpoint and point of view, but really looking at the mental piece and the dynamics behind why we do what we do. So we encourage you to go back, check out the replay. Last week's show, the recap, 30 minutes again of Forks Over Knives. We guarantee you'll be blessed and you will truly enjoy it. So going into a new week, Billy, there's a message in your mess. When you hear that title, what does it mean to you? What do you think? What comes to mind?
Well, you know, what I hear out of that is there's a testimony and everything. You know, God will turn your test into a testimony. He'll turn your mess into a message because he always sees the gold in the garbage and the treasure in the trash. So when you look for what others don't look for, you'll find what others miss. That's what I just heard when you read that.
That's right. I agree. And, you know, people were sending me some messages on Facebook, like, message in your mess. Like, what's that about? I even had some people talk to me about that today. Like, I'm interested to see what that's about. And it's funny that people are more intrigued by, you know, messages or titles like that because they're like, we all have mess. You know, clearly there's always a message that we're looking for. We're always looking for what we call that blessing in the lesson and so forth like that. So we thought that title would help our listeners to be able to relate, in a sense. We wanted to connect with our listeners. And as I said tonight, this show is a very interesting show and a very exciting one because of the individual that's joining us tonight. Now, really what the concept behind this show is, we want to be able to reach out to those individuals that have this desire, this burning desire, or this very subtle desire to be able to tell their story. I'm sure many of you guys can relate to this, where you've had experiences in your life and someone says, man, you've always got something going on. You need to write a book. Or you've even thought to yourself, you know what, there is no way that I should still be here standing being able to tell this story. I need to write this down. I need to go ahead and share this with other people and bless someone else in the process. I'm sure many of you can relate to that, and that's what this show is about. We want to introduce you to an individual that has stepped out on faith, basically, and decided to say, you know what, I'm going to pursue my passion, and I'm going to be a blessing to other people. I'm a visionary, and I'm that light that blesses the world, and I want other people to step out into that light as well. And so we want you to listen to this show tonight and really have an open perspective. As we say this every week, Mindshift Talk Radio, it's about creating that paradigm shift. So you may start off the first part of this show thinking one way and seeing things one way, maybe even from a narrow perspective, but we guarantee that if you stick with us for the rest of this hour, you will have a mind shift. And it is our hope and our prayer that after you hear this show and hear this story and hear about this amazing work that this individual is doing, that you'll be encouraged as well to let your light shine. And so we're going to talk about the burning desire to write your story, to be an author, and to share your experiences with other people.
Hey.
And we're also going to discuss, what's that?
Oh, nothing. I was just saying, you keep talking about this author and his books and all of this. You know, I got a book coming out in 2 weeks, baby. 2 weeks it'll be.
Okay. We have to give you your moment, Billy.
It's time for me to share my message.
And we have been waiting. This is a highly anticipated message. So you know what? Okay, I'm going to pass it over to you before we even introduce our guest, because you're right. Your book is coming out, and I've been talking about this for,
hold on. Adrian got a book coming out, but we got to say the best for last. You see what I'm saying?
But you want to talk about yours later?
We're going to talk about mine now, because Adrian got the best. She the guest. You follow what I'm saying? We're just going to talk for a little bit, and then she's going to take over the show.
All right. Well, tell us about your book coming out in 2 weeks. For people that have not ordered this book yet, they need to know. So go ahead and tell us about your book.
Okay. My book is titled Life in Righteousness, and the subtitle is The Word is Your Life. And this book, we've been talking about this book, and this is a book that goes well with this title. You know, you talk about the mess in your message. You know, I've been working on this book since the year 2000, and I went through went through trials and went through, you know, procrastination, went through periods of not starting, and that's one of my best advice for people that want to start writing, is to start. Start big, start small, just start. And just to tell you a little bit more about the book, I finally started. And I started when I had a bunch of mess. You know, I started when I wasn't working. I was unemployed. Car broke down. Stuck in the house. Then it was like, what's your excuse now? You know, before I was working, I didn't have time. Before I was doing this, didn't have time. My Mike Murdoch said, when you hurt, you're right. And that's what I began to do. I said, you know what, let me just start on my vision. Let me start doing what God called me to do and quit procrastinating, putting off. I don't have any excuse now. I can't even leave the house. I can't even go nowhere. So I started writing. And I started writing the principles that I learned throughout the years, because one of the things that I've learned since I've been a Christian is there's two types of Christians. And I label them like this. There's the average Christian, and the average Christian is the one that's just average, just common. You know, they probably got saved when they were seven, but they're not really into the word, or they never, you know, they might go to church on Easter and Mother's Day. You know, they're not really on fire for God. And then there's the other Christian that I call the successful Christian. Now, when I say successful Christian, I'm not talking about a person who has a lot of money or a lot of possessions, even though there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not what I'm referring to. When I use the term successful Christian, a successful Christian is one who takes God at his word and stand on his word until they get the promises. You know, a successful Christian is one who receives God's love and distributes that same love towards others. A successful Christian is one who knows who he is in Christ and know whose he is, and they operate under his authority. So simply put, a successful Christian is simply the person who's living the life that God wants them to live. But like I said, unfortunately, you put 10 Christians in a room, you may find two of them that's living like that. The rest of them will be average. You know, the average Christian is broke. The average Christian is sick. The average Christian is going through divorce. Not saying that those things, not saying if you're experiencing those things or you're going through those things, that makes you less of a Christian. But the difference between a successful Christian and an average Christian is a successful Christian doesn't let that beat them down. A successful Christian doesn't tolerate and accept it. A successful Christian rises and they stand on God's word and they trust God regardless of what they're going through. And so when I wrote the book, Life and Righteousness, the purpose for it is I want to change the statistics. I want the average Christian to be a successful one. I mean, it should be common for Christians to get results. It should be common for Christians to succeed. I mean, that should be ordinary. It should be normal for Christians to walk around manifesting God's word, exemplifying his glory, walking in the supernatural. That should be the norm. Listen to this real closely. A Christian should be known not by their hypocrisy, but by their prophecy. See, just chew on that for a minute. So a Christian, he should be known not by his fakeness, but by his faithfulness. And that's what this book is going to do. It's going to encourage people to live a life to the degree where those around you will say, I want to serve the God that he serves. I want to know the God that she knows. And when you get this book and when you read it, my book is going to increase a hunger in your heart for his word. And Stace, I'm going to let you do a station ID break, and I can talk more on that hunger if you want to, and then we can hand it over to Adrian.
All righty. Well, you hear the brother right now, getting down on it, Mr. Billy Miller, the motivational minister. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio, and tonight's title is Turn Your... Well, no. Let me go back. That's not... We changed it. It is There Is a Message in Your Mess. But the other tagline that we use is Turn Your Mess into Success. I didn't want to mess that up. So Turn Your Mess into Success, and you'll see why as when we introduce our next guest that's going to be joining us tonight. But again, thank you for tuning to Mindshift Talk Radio. And if you have any questions, any comments, make sure that you give us a call at area code 347-989-0206. But go ahead, Billy. I know you had another point to share. Go ahead and do that before we bring our guest out.
Yeah, one of the things I like about the book that it's going to do is it's going to increase the hunger inside a person when they read it. It's going to stir something up inside of you for God. And I have a chapter in my book, which is chapter 4, and it's titled Passion of Righteousness. And the subtitle is Hungry for the Word. And see, it's important to seek God's word. It's important to meditate on his word. It's important to act on his word. And a lot of people want to do this, but the problem is it all starts with passion. It all starts with a hunger. Because if you don't have a hunger for it, if you don't have an appetite for it, you're not going to go after it. See, Stacy, you got a favorite restaurant. What's your favorite restaurant?
I love any restaurant that serves great Thai food.
Great Thai food. I could put you anywhere in the United States and you'll find it because you have a hunger for it. You have a desire
mm-hmm.
for it. Like me, I'm allergic to shellfish. So I'm not walking around mm-hmm. looking for a Red Lobster. I'm not walking around looking for a seafood restaurant because I don't have a hunger. I don't have an appetite. I don't have a desire for it. And that's important to be successful in anything. You're going to need to have a passion for it because if you don't have a passion for it, you'll go through the motions. But when it gets rough, when it gets hard, when it gets difficult, you'll quit. Dr. Miles Monroe said, passion means that no matter how tough things are, what I believe is bigger than what I see. It's an urge that is deeper than any resistance it might encounter. It's a goal to win that is bigger than the desire to quit. And I want to drive one more point home with the passion and with the hunger. You know, I'm telling you that's what you need, and everybody's like, yeah, that's what I need. And every Christian wants to be hungry, but every Christian is not hungry. Christians want to be hungry for the word. They want to just go out. Man, I want a desire and a passion like that. But some of them don't. And I'm going to tell you why. And I learned this principle one day walking with my daughter in the mall. And we were going to Dillard's. And we had to walk through the food court, right? And when we was walking through the food court, there's like a Japanese restaurant in there and a Chinese restaurant, part of that food court. And there's these ladies standing out there with these samples on a plate. Now, we walked through, and this lady walked up. She, like, handed me this sesame chicken and teriyaki chicken. Here, taste this, sample it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I tasted it. Next thing you know, me and her ordering Chinese food, eating in the food court. Well, we wasn't even thinking about Chinese food. What happened? Well, what happened was this lady gave us a sample, and when we tasted it, it created a hunger. It created an appetite for that food. So that caused me to go seek it. That caused me to eat it. That's called meditation. And it caused me to get full, which is the fulfillment and the satisfaction and or results. Well, likewise, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If we just taste God, the word taste, let me give a definition to the word taste. And I'm reading this right out of my book. This is how my book is written. And I just want you to get a good idea of how simple and how easy I'm explaining it. The word taste means to become acquainted with by experience, to become acquainted with by experience, to try it. And it's not until you try God. You follow what I'm saying? It's not until you get a taste of him, it's not until you experience him that you'll create this appetite in your heart for his word. There's a scripture in Psalms 119, verse 103, says, how sweet are your words, talking about God, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. There's another scripture in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 13 through 14. It says, my child, eat honey for it is good, and the honeycomb is sweet to the taste. In the same way, wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, you will have a bright future, and your hopes will not be cut short. So it all comes with that appetite. Just like you eat food, that's how you need to consume the word. We've heard the scripture before where it says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I'm going to share this one last scripture. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 in the Message translation. It says, you're blessed when you worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. And so that's where we had to develop an appetite for God, and that appetite, that hunger, that passion that we need to go after God's word is not going to happen until we taste, until we try, until we experience him. And there's one of my friends told me a quote. He says, the proof of passion is pursuit. And that's going to be the proof. When you get hungry, you're going to go after it. When you get hungry, you're going to seek it. And you're going to meditate on it. And that's when you'll get fulfilled. And my book, if you want to order my book, it's you go to billymiller.com. And my name is spelled with an I-E, not a Y, B-I-L-L-I-E. Miller.com. I got a sale going on. If you pre-order it now for $14.95, this is a book that's going to, it's a gift to the body of Christ, not because I wrote it, but because God inspired me to write it, and I know it's going to change lives. Jack Canfield is a man who got, he made a lot of money off the chicken soup for the souls. When they asked him about the book, he said, I didn't write books to get rich. I wrote books to make a difference. And that's what that's my desire. That's the purpose of sharing the message. It's good to get paid to do it, but my desire is to get information out that's going to change your life. And not only will it change your life, but it's going to empower you and equip you to change the lives of somebody else.
Really, I love it. And you shared so much just now. And that's really what this show is about. I mean, we all have gifts and talents, and we all have an assignment, something that we've been called to do specifically. And many of us are aware of what that assignment are, but many are not aware of that. And so it is our goal. It should be our goal as individuals to continue to grow and to understand what that purpose is for our lives. And again, that's what we're talking about tonight. You know, we all have a story. There's something in you that you can share with others that can be a blessing to other people. And so by the end of this hour, we encourage you to really take that assessment, that self-assessment, to really look at who you are, look at your life experiences, look at where you are, and look at how far you've come, and realize that truly there is a blessing in every, or there's a lesson and a blessing in every experience that you've had to this day right here. And Billy, when you were talking about that, you know, I'm excited about Adrienne Bilbrow joining us as well, because it's work like this. You know, your work, it's her work, and it's work of so many other passionate people that have even helped me to get to the point where I am right now. And throughout everything that you were saying, you kept talking about wisdom, and I was thinking about insight and understanding. And as you listen to and find out more about Adrienne's book, you'll realize why it was so important that we had her on this show tonight. You know, we were talking amongst ourselves, and we were like, we have so many friends that have written books and have shared so many great stories, but we wanted someone to be here that truly has a burning desire and passion to bless other people. And that's why we decided to bring Miss Adrienne Bilbrow to the show. Now, I'm going to allow Adrienne to tell you a little bit more about who she is herself, but I can tell you this. You know, when you look at her bio and you look at her background, she has a background that's, you know, similar to most of us in terms of sales. She's done consulting for huge companies like AT&T and Adobe Corporation and so forth. But despite all that she's done for these large corporations, I think it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't even stand close to where her heart truly is. And her heart is in a place to bless other people, whether she's doing it in nonprofits or whether she's doing it by sharing these experiences and these principles in her upcoming book, A Gift of Knowing. You'll understand why we have to have Miss Adrienne Bilbrow on the show. So I just want to go ahead and introduce you and welcome our special, dynamic, phenomenal guest, Miss Adrienne Bilbrow. Hey, Adrienne, welcome to Mindshift Talk Radio. Uh-oh, we may be having some issues with Adrienne's line. There you are, Adrienne. We can hear you now. Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you. Welcome to the show.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. That was so nice. I was almost about to ask you what you were talking about.
Oh, it was so all much. About you. I've been so excited about having you on the show, Adrienne. We have been waiting for this day, and it's been months now we've been talking about having you come on the show, but we know that your book is about to come out probably in the next quarter. And so we wanted to be first to unveil you to the world. And so if you could please just go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit more about who Adrian is.
Definitely, definitely. First, let me say thank you so much for having me. Even before my project is finished, I've listened to your show lots of times, and I love it. You guys, it is true that when you listen, your mind does shift, and you start to think in different ways. And the more that you listen, the more that you shift. So it's a great thing that you're doing, so I'm really glad to be here.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But about me, I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi. That's where most of my family is. And I grew up there, and I started a career in sales, and I really loved it. I had, great life, loved what I did, and I had a lot of fun. But it never, really, really touched the heart of me, but I didn't even know what the heart of me was. So, I'm going by having my days and loving life, but, when things don't attach you to your eternity or to your truth, they start to mean less and less as the days go on. So, honestly, Atlanta was probably just the place that was closest to me. It was, right next door. I wouldn't be too far away from my family. It was the next biggest city. So I thought, this would be a great step. And I think more than anything, what Atlanta did was expose my naivety when I first got here. I realized, every city is known for something different, and people are attracted to certain cities for specific reasons. And so when I got here, I don't think I was very prepared for, people having other initiatives and other objectives maybe than what was on the forefront. So it definitely exposed a lot of that, but I got exactly what I wanted, which was to become more of myself and to learn who that was. And that's what I did when I just started studying metaphysical stuff. I remember a long, long time ago, I heard Oprah say the most amazing book she'd ever read was The Seat of the Soul. And I can't remember her exact words, but whatever it was, it stuck with me. And I ran out and I bought this book. And I remember writing the date, as I always do. Every time I buy a book, I write the date that I bought it in the front. And it sat in a drawer for probably 4 years. I didn't pull it out. I don't know what had me pull it out, but I did. And it was the thing that opened me up the most. And I remember reading, it's called A Seat of the Soul. It's Gary Zukav. And I remember reading it and thinking, what does he mean, the soul exists outside of time? What does that mean? And I was trying to get my mind around it. And I remember it blew my mind so much, I closed the book. I probably didn't pick it up for another 8 months. And I continued to study. I continued to, expand and learn what these kinds of things mean, because you hear it all the time. And every religion teaches these things, every one of them. And I guess there is mental law where you can hear it so many times that you start to believe it. But I didn't understand it. Do you know what I mean? And there's a totally different, perception when you understand something versus just regurgitating what you've heard all of your life.
Right.
So I guess, when I really, really got my mind around all of this, it started to just create this echo. And I remember that I would write down really profound things that I just liked, that I just wanted to go back to at some point, or something just finally made sense to me, and I would write it down. And it was happening more and more, and then it was happening at very strange times. Like, it would be when I was driving home from work, or it'd be when I was blow-drying my hair, or it would be when I was cooking. Impossible times. Or I would be at the gym, working out. And some profound thought would come in, and I'd go, God, I want to write that down, but I can't do it. And I started talking to other people and telling them this, and people were saying all the time, I love the way you write. I really, really love the way you write. I like to read what you say. And then it started to hit me like, oh, this is a book. I didn't even know. Like, I never sat down one day and said I wanted to be a writer, And then it just started to come out. And so I hired this writing coach, and I remember him telling me, because I said, why is this coming out at just crazy times? Like, why is it that when I sit down to write, nothing comes out? And he said, it's because your right brain is finally getting a chance to take over when you let your left brain calm down. And I actually did a speech on this, like, probably a year and a half ago now, but, you know, your left and right brain is responsible for different types of thought, and your right brain is your creative mind, and your left brain is your logical mind. So when your logical mind doesn't have to tell you how to do things because you know how to do it, i.e. driving home from work, walking on a treadmill, blow-drying your hair, cooking a meal that you've cooked a million times, it doesn't have to tell you how to do those things. So finally it calms down, and then the creative mind takes over. And so that's why I started having those thoughts when I was doing things that were normal, that I didn't have to think about. So he really helped me get some clarity around that, and I started to really take it seriously. And I can so relate to so many things that Billy said. You go through these points where you're so fired up and you want it and you can't see anything else, and then you get busy on other things. Or, you know, you are not feeling it at the moment. And I remember Chris Gloss, who we were all good friends with, he said one time that, you know, you have to make yourself do things sometimes. It's not so much about waiting for the inspiration to hit you. It's actually sitting down and doing it because you know that's what has to be done. So anyway, long story short, it might be too late for that, but I started to put all of this stuff into writing, and I am so excited to share it. I did a lot of specific research to bring, you know, hard and concrete examples into truths that we all know so that we can all recognize them in our own lives, because that's, at the end of the day, that's what it has to be. It's not about you knowing that something is true somewhere, somehow, some way, but is it true in your life? And that's when you start to become the actual testimony for the truth. And I think it's so important that we understand things versus just saying something. I think that's where the whole, what did he refer? He said, it's the average Christian. Is that what you said, Billy? I think that's how you said it.
Yeah.
But I can relate to that. Yes, I can relate to that. Just like everybody else, it's you. Once you understand something, it gives you power behind the movement. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not so much that you're walking on faith; you actually understand something, and it's true. When the Bible says, you know, it only takes the faith of a mustard seed. That's so true. When you understand universal truth, which is where all religions come from. When you understand that, then you are walking with the faith of a mustard seed. You finally get it. It doesn't really take that much faith. You kind of know something at that point. And so that's why the book is called A Gift of Knowing. It is to bring these ideas home so that they live in you, and that you don't recognize something, or especially God, as something that is outside of you. You recognize it as something that you hold.
Well, Adrienne, I realize that you've been saying that same T word keeps coming out of your mouth, which is truth. And so I definitely want you to tell us more about the principles that you share in your book. But before you do that, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to let you know that you're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery, Billy Miller, and Dr. Isle T. Dar, the Natural Zen Diva. Tonight we are joined by the author and phenomenal guest, Ms. Adrienne Bilbro, discussing her newest book, which is called A Gift of Knowing. And Adrienne, you keep talking about truth, and I noticed that Billy was talking about truth. And we talked a little bit this weekend about your book, and I'm so excited about you sharing that with other with our listeners. But one book that changed my life was the works of H. Emily Caddy, and she was a metaphysician, and she died back in the 40s, as I talked about. And it makes me think of something that was written in her book, and it's the premise of what you're talking about what Billy's talking about those principles that we all live by. And when it comes to truth, she says that the revelation of truth to the consciousness of a person is spiritual understanding. And it's that spiritual understanding, it's that revelation of truth of who we really are that will help us to grow, as Billy said, from being those average Christians to those successful Christians. It'll help us to grow from being average individuals living average lifestyles to being successful individuals seeking success and always walking and running in success. And so I'd like for you to share more about your book and tell us about some of the principles that you're discussing in your book.
Okay. And you're exactly right. I definitely want to speak on the platform of truth. I one of the things that I really, really wanted to drive home in this book is that there is a distinct difference
between religion and the truth. And that doesn't mean that religion is not true. Whenever I say that I think that people feel like I threw cold water on their face, it's not what I mean when I say that. I mean that we can talk in universal truth all day. I could say, you know, the sun is what created everything in this solar system. And that is true. Nobody could, you know, argue with that. That is the power of this solar system. But you have to have a way for that to become your personal experience. You have to have a way to perceive that truth. And that's what our religions do for us. And I wanted so much for people to understand that there is a distinct difference between those two things and to not get so caught up that you can't see the truth. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what we're all holding on to, and that's what we're all sprouting mm-hmm. from, and that's what we all go back to at the end of the day. And so, you know, I definitely want – I speak to everybody, whether you know, I personally, my favorite is Jesus, but that doesn't mean that that's the next person's favorite. They could have another prophet or someone that they look up to. That's just fine. I speak to everybody because if it's a true prophet, they speak the truth. They're saying the exact same thing. And so, you know, it is so important to grasp those things because it truly breaks my heart to see so much division in our world based on religions when all of our teachers and all of them were saying the same thing. They were trying to get the same things through to us, the exact same things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is something that I definitely focus hard on. There's four chapters in the book. One of the things that I wanted to make sure was that it did not get too long. We are all very busy. Nobody has time to read long pieces of work. So I'm keeping this less than 150 pages, but I am making it as absolutely juicy as possible so that when you read it, it's rich. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the first chapter is simply on, you know, the actual knowing what truth is, grasping ultimate truth, which is that there is one power, that's it, and everything else is an illusion, and getting trapped in all of those different pieces of the illusion is actually the ego. That's exactly what it is. It's attachment to form. It's you losing sight that there is only one energy, period. And all of everything that you see is just an expansion of that. So there's, you know, just an expansion of ways to perceive that. The second chapter is basically on the ego. I love Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth. He's one of my favorite books. Oprah talks about a big shift that happens when you read the book, and that definitely happened to me. I remember that it didn't take a lot for me to meditate anymore. I could just sit there and be in my eternity. I didn't have to. It was something about my body that wasn't distracting anymore. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. If anybody's listening to this and you haven't read that book, it's amazing. I suggest it to anybody. But, yeah, there's a whole chapter on ego. There is a chapter on choice. And in that, I did a lot of research on actually orgasmic childbirth, which a lot of people don't know is possible. But I wanted to grab something that most of us perceive as some, you know, worst pain that I guess you could ever experience that ends up in pleasure, right? But it kind of bears a piece of that is supposed to, you know, help you understand that everything is a choice. And once you make a choice, the experience of something after it changes. That's what Billy was just talking about as well. And then the last is a chapter on faith. And I think that essentially when you realize that you are the light of the world, that is your salvation. That is when you are truly, truly saved. It's just like Billy was talking about. It's not about being baptized or any sort of ceremony that initiates you into a religion. It is truly about understanding what power is inside of you. So that's it in a nutshell.
Awesome. I mean, it sounds like some great chapters that
yeah.
we all need to read. Now, I would like to ask you this, though, because you're covering so much, like you said, this juicy little book, what was your favorite part or favorite chapter in that book?
My favorite part was I did a lot of research from Albert Einstein on time, and he talks about how he essentially discovers that it actually doesn't exist. It's really space and time as the same thing, which is essentially what it means when we say the soul exists outside of time. That's why when you want things in life or you are there's something that you feel that you don't have at the moment. That's why it is to your detriment to think that you don't have it. It might not be in the form that you wanted, but you do have it. And that's all realizing that the power is inside of you. And the more that you tap on that power, tap on whatever it is or your distinct gifts. You know, I like to write and I like to communicate. So I continually tap on that and I don't let it get out of my sight. I keep going on that. Whatever it is that is yours that you do, once you tap on that gift, whatever it is that you are, you can forget about what you're wanting. It's coming. It's on its way because that's your truth. And once you're living in your truth, all of these things that you think haven't manifested yet, you start to realize that that is kind of an egotistical way of looking at things because you're attaching yourself to form. So I have a speech that my speechwriter is working on right now, and she decided to use the example of the acorn because, you know, you have that little thing in your hand and you plant it in the ground and it grows into a tree. Would you ever think that a tree would come from such a little acorn? But it actually does. And so it's realizing that all the seeds are here and that you can manifest anything that you want. That's probably my favorite chapter, is realizing that it actually doesn't exist, that it is your perception of time that increases the time of anything that you don't want or what you do. You can focus on what you do and you increase the time on that too. So it is, you know, when you realize that you're truly a mini creator, you are a small piece of this big thing. It's a phenomenal thing to grasp. And, you know, I had the idea, obviously, but when I started to research and pull in information from all of these amazing people of the past, including Albert Einstein, it was so profound for me. I stopped feeling like, you know, I was stressed out. I stopped feeling like I didn't have things I didn't want. I was appreciative of that moment, and I was thankful, quote unquote, before it happened, because I know that it already has. So I think I probably explained it a whole lot better in the book, but that's the gist of it, and that was my favorite part. That's my favorite part.
So what?
Well, you know, Adrian, go ahead, Billy. I'll save my question. Go ahead.
Okay. When a person reads your book and they complete the book, what is expected to happen? What's the purpose of the book? Like, what do you expect to happen once a person finishes reading the book?
Great question. Thank you. I know that they will never, ever, ever look at life the same way again. At the end of the day, all of the perceptions that they had, especially of, you know, things that they don't have, things that maybe haven't worked out in life, you'll start to see it in a different way. And just like you were saying, it gives you power to move forward and it motivates you. I think that is, because once you have to get your mind around it, and I think that's a lot of times what holds people back. We have, you know, humans are complicated animals. We have a lot of layers to us, no doubt. But I think that once you get your mind around something, and sometimes you have to keep wrapping it, and you keep wrapping it, and you keep wrapping it, and there's nothing wrong with that. Most of us have been raised in environments where we're waiting for the outside to change before the inside to change, and it's so easy and so natural, and there are so many things. I would say if most people's life is like mine, it's probably more things that, you know, encourage you to look at the outside versus the inside. But I think that the book will flip you. It will absolutely flip your perception, and you'll start to focus more on what's inside of you. You know that thing that everybody says that they can't describe, that it factor? That's it. That is it. The it factor is knowing that you are in power all the time. All the time. I'm not saying that you create by yourself. We are co-creators in this process. But you always have power at every single moment, all of the time. That's the it factor.
Well, you know, with this being Mind Shift Talk Radio, we have to have this mind shift. And I'm very familiar with everything that you're sharing, Adrian, and I can hear your excitement and I like it. I mean, I love it actually, because I understand your excitement. And as I shared before, you know, when I was introduced to the world of metaphysics, I think it was the perfect time for me. Like, you talk about timing, and there's timing for everyone. We all grow in our due season.
Mm-hmm.
And for many people that are listening to the show, they may be hear, they may hear us saying metaphysics and truth, and it's just going over their head, like, what exactly does that mean? And I know one misconception that I've come across is individuals feeling that there's a divide, that there's a challenge or some opposition being a Christian but reading metaphysical books.
Really?
And my own, yes. And I've come across that, and I've talked to individuals about this where it's like, well, you know, that's not really a Christian book, or, there, you know, and I'm like, well, where do you get that from? Because if you truly get into the understanding and the truth of what metaphysics is about, it's all God-centered. And
right.
I'm thankful that I was introduced to it when I was, because I think it helped me to build a strong foundation and to grow as a Christian later in my life. But what I would like for you to do, for those individuals that are not familiar with metaphysics, never have heard of these principles before outside of what biblical teaching teaches us, how would you introduce this to someone, say, brand new, could be a young individual or an older individual that's not really understanding of what this whole truth talk is about? How would you break it down into simple layman's terms for any individual to be able to pick up your book and understand what it is that you're sharing with them?
Okay, that's a great question. I think that essentially there has to be the desire inside of you, first of all. And I think that there are some people that are not questioning, and that is just fine. That is, you know, their perception. There has to be something that you're looking at and going, I want to understand deeper. Like, you know, once you've learned that, let's take this for instance, energy that is centered around love versus energy that is centered around fear. Science literally proves that that energy is bigger. It's literally bigger, and that's why, you know, you've heard of or seen someone that's depressed, and sometimes you could literally walk up and touch that person and they don't feel it. But when you are happy and you are excited and you're on fire, your spirit is huge and you feel everything. And so maybe, you know, if someone said, I remember a long time ago, you know, it took a lot of courage, I think, for him to say this, but he said he didn't understand how Jesus could be so nice in the situations that he was in, how he stayed in love. And I said, that is it. He understood. He understood what love was versus what fear was. And he sat in that. And when you can do that too, it's a whole different thing. I just think that metaphysics just proves a lot of the things that we're taught in religion. It's scientific proof of it. It says, you know, these things are not just what someone was saying. They are literally the building blocks of the ground that we walk on and the buildings that we build and the cars that we drive. You know, this is the truth. It's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I know we're coming up at the end of the hour, and Billy, I'm curious to hear, what are your thoughts?
What are my thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Life and righteousness. Go get it. Wordisyourlife.com.
There you go.
No, but what I want to know, though, Adrian, until the book comes out, like, did you mention blogs earlier? Like, you started writing.
I did. One of the things that I think is so important when you're doing things like this is to actually be a person that is in motion in these practices. And so as I grow, I want other people to see this. And so the blog is kind of a companion with the book. It actually shows these principles at work in real life. I don't want to be known as someone that says great things, but, you know, maybe you don't see it as much in my life. And I also think that when you see other people walking in this, it just inspires you. And that's the way that we change the world. That's the way you do it. So, you know, I have this blog that's going to be a companion with the book, and you can kind of watch me in action with this. And I'll have other people on talking about their experiences, and it'll be really cool.
And the blog is, you have the blog now, right?
No. The blog is not together yet.
Oh, okay.
But
I got you.
Everything will come out, I would say, no later than December. But, yeah, I'll definitely be publicized. And hopefully I can come back on the show and I can talk about it and share everything.
Definitely. And now that we're coming up at the end of the hour also, again, you know, there's some individuals that are listening right now that may wonder, okay, how do I get started? I know you guys are talking about blogs and so forth. So this question is directed to both Billy and Adrian. What advice, what one piece of advice would you give to someone out there that may possibly consider writing their own story?
Do you want to go first, Billy?
About getting that started?
Okay. Like I said, the first thing you just need to do is start. That's the main thing, because remember I told you I procrastinated for a while? Even though I was doing a study on the subject, I studied the subject for years, but I never actually started writing in book form.
Right.
And so you just need to start. And let me give you these quick little nuggets. When you start writing, don't sit down and start, okay, let me start chapter one, okay, and then go to chapter two, chapter three, because you're not even going to make it to chapter two. What you need to do, of course, you can categorize it as chapters, but don't worry about what chapter is going to be, because it's going to get all changed around. So, in other words, you got sections like, you know, you might have this section on faith, and you might have this section on action, or this section on whatever. You can do that, but then you start writing whatever gives you the most passion first. So you look at those different sections that you say, well, you know what, this section on action is just, that's just driving me. I want to start on that. And so you start writing that, and then you just keep doing with the next chapter, the next chapter. After you get all of these different chapters that don't have a number on it, then you piece it together, because chapter six might be chapter one, chapter one might be chapter eight. And so that's
so true.
So that's how you start. Don't start just trying to write chapter one. Just start writing what you feel the most exciting at the time, and then when you finish that, go to write the next thing that you feel the most at the time until you got a book. And guess what, people? If you write a page a day, in a year you will have two books. You will have 365 pages. All you got to do is start.
So do you think journals are a great way to start writing a book as well?
Yeah, I think, journals are good. Anything that can start you to write, that actually will make you write, if you will actually just start writing. Journals is good because it'll just help you piece it all together. I mean, I got stuff that I always, I have a folder that has 30 book titles in it, right? Over 30, actually. I got over 30 book ideas. And so when I see something like a quote or something that I know go with that particular book, but I'm not gonna, probably not going to write that book till 5 years later or whatever, I go and write it in there. So by the time I get to it, I already have a journal, so to speak, or information or something I cut out from an article already in that section that'll help me fast forward when I get to that book. So I won't have to just necessarily start from scratch.
And Adrian, what challenges would you say that an individual should prepare themselves to face when starting it, you know, even embark on this whole journey of writing? What challenges are they going to be up against?
Well, most writers are creative people, and creative people sometimes are not methodical people. And so we have to work really, really hard at keeping ourselves on a schedule. But if you will put yourself on a schedule, that was the biggest thing that I got from my first writing coach. If you will put yourself on a schedule and you will reserve time for writing, sometimes it's not so much that the writing flows at that time, but you can definitely do editing. You can always make use of that time. And even if it's just coming up with ideas, if it's researching to inspire other ideas, just set aside the time to do it. It's one of the best, and I'm sure that Billy, you know, can testify to this too, is such a sweet accomplishment. It really is to put your experience and your consciousness on paper and share it with someone. That's how we get more evolved. And even if you read something that you don't agree with, it's the fact that to not agree with it, you had to think deeper into why you don't. You know what I mean? So you always, you grow so much. It inspires so much growth. So just set aside the time. Set aside the time to do it. I personally, like I said, I was getting these you know, just random thoughts, and I was writing it down, and I have a million scraps of paper, and I would just pull out one and start expanding on it. And that's how the book came to be. Mm. Of course, I had to cross out certain things. I had to rework. Just like Billy said, it doesn't come together in a neat little piece like people think, but they should experience it that way. So you do the work. You set aside the time. You write what you can. You edit what you can. You get advice. You test it out on other people. And you just keep going. Keep going.
And also, don't worry about making mistakes. Just start writing. You can go back and edit it later. Just start writing. A lot of people get froze because of my saying is right and my spelling is right. No, just get in the flow. Just write it all out. We can always go back and correct it.
I'm so glad you said that, Billy. It's so important to understand. People were asking me to edit their work all the time, like just at work. And then I would notice the more editing I did, the harder it was for me to write, because you can't write and edit at the same time. Don't edit your voice. Don't, you know, taper what you're saying. Just say it. And even if it sounds dumb, you're going to go back and read it. You're going to go back and change it. You're going to move it into another place. So just let it flow and make sure that if that's the time that you set aside to let it flow, do that. No editing.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you have it. Adrian, again, thank you so much for joining us on tonight's show. If you could please tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you or also get more information about the book as well.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. It's my name, my first and last name. I'm Adrian Dolbro, and I'm on Facebook as well.
Can you spell that for us?
And can they also go
ahead and listen?
Yeah, let's go ahead and spell it. Adrian,
yes.
How do you spell your first name?
It's Adriannne, and my last name is B like boy, I-L, B like boy, R-O. So it's like, it's Adrian, where's the Bill, bro? You know, because people never, my name is so weird. So people started teasing me when I was in school, and they would say, oh, like, where's the Bill, bro? That's how you say it? I'm like, yeah, that's it. And, yeah, there
oh,
you
wow.
go.
Oh, wow. Bill, bro. Okay. And can we get more information about the book on your Facebook page as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then
awesome.
I'm also accepting messages from anyone. You don't have to be my friend, so if you're going to send me a message, that's fine as well.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And, of course, we are going to have you on the show again once the book comes out, especially once the blog comes out as well. So we're going to have you back on the show, but thank you. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is Adrian Zilbro. And, you know, you guys heard Billy do his plug. Billy, they were cracking on you in the chat room talking about your plug.
What plug? Come on, come on, the BillyMiller.com plug, the BillyMiller.com plug.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't even trying to do that. I was just saying my website because people didn't know how to spell it. It was just BillyMiller.com.
Oh, yeah, Coach T called you out in the chat room. That was hilarious.
That could be confusing. I'm with you. You should have spelled it out. I wouldn't have known.
But, you know, again, we thank you all for tuning in tonight. And you heard the same principles and concepts being shared by both Billy and Adrian about truth, about action, about faith. It was the same words that we heard throughout the entire hour. And so we encourage you, again, if you have a story, if there's anything in you that you feel that you have to share or there's something that you're so very passionate about, we just encourage you to take action and take action now. Whether it's you writing on a piece of scrap paper like Adrian does or actually setting aside time daily to write your thoughts down, whether it's in a journal, however you choose to do it, just start now. You'll be surprised and amazed at what you have. As Billy said, in a year from now, you look at that one page a day and you have two books. That was amazing. When you said that, Billy, I was like, oh, my gosh, I never even thought about it like that. I mean, you made it seem so simple when you said it that way. I know for me personally, I would have to just be a little bit more disciplined with my time, and I know many of us are dealing with that. But, again, we encourage you to make sure that you tune into Mindshift Talk Radio every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Pray that you take something away from this show tonight. And we encourage you to share this show with friends and family members. Anyone that you know is in need of a mind shift, make sure they join us every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we will talk to you guys next week. Be blessed and have a productive week. Bye, Billy. Bye, Adrian.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Stacey. Thank you again so much.
Mind Shift Radio.